dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We continue with this series on a balm for the weary. And tonight, from Psalm 147, the title of our message is Extolling Our All-Caring God. We have a God who cares for us, and we praise Him because of who He is, such a caring God. His redemptive care, verse 1 to 6, His provisional and protective care, verse 7 to 14, and His instructive care, verse 15 to 20. It is observed, the God of Israel in this psalm is set forth in His peculiarity of glory as caring for the sorrowing, the insignificant, and forgotten. This was how C.H. Spurgeon began this his comment on this psalm. And here we want to speak singularly on our gracious God that the psalmist praises to impress upon our hearts to extol, to glorify Him. The Lord wants us to feel, experience, and be overwhelmed with His goodness in our life. And then, of course, thanksgiving. If we have experienced who He is and His very presence to lead and guide us, would we not be happy? We are the happiest people on earth. God's people, Israel, were wayward. They went after idols, and God had to deal with them after their sins. Even after repeated warnings by God's prophets to awaken them from their spiritual adultery, they were unrepentant. The Babylonians were sent to destroy Jerusalem. God's people were exiled from the promised land for 70 years. It was a time of great sorrow, and God brought them back to the land again after the 70 years of captivity through the decree of Cyrus, the king of Persia. When Nehemiah and his people finished rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, restoring the gates, resettling the people, they called a great assembly for celebration and dedication. And, well, this psalm, was it written for such an occasion as this, of celebration, of dedication? You remember, as you read the book of Nehemiah, when God laid the burden upon his heart to go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls. You see, the walls fortify the city and protect it. When the walls are broken down, the enemies can come and take the city anytime. They were very, very vulnerable. And when Nehemiah got the cue from the Lord to return to build the walls, the enemies were very active, trying to stop them. And so they had to, on the one hand, build, and on the other hand, the sword in the hand to protect. 53 days, the walls of Jerusalem were built. It was a spiritual endeavor. And many times the enemy came to Nehemiah to say to him, please come down and meet with us. Please stop the work. Nehemiah said, no, This is God's task for him. And he refused to hearken to the enemy's call to stop the work. And so they continue. And there was great victory at the end, because the walls were built, and then the temple, right, with worship, resurrected. God, they were once again calling upon God again. God, our God, is a good God. He takes care of us, not just when we are following him, but in those times when we choose to walk our own way, well, you find that his chastisement hand comes upon us, and so that we would come back to him. Why is it so? Well, because he loves us. He does not want us to go our own way, right? The way by which we would suffer great, great loss. But sometimes we learn it the hard way, because we refuse. We refuse to hearken. We refuse to obey. We refuse to follow. And we have to learn our lesson. But that's time wasted. That's time lost. That's price to be paid. Here, the Lord speaks in verse 1 to 6 of how he took care of his people. This psalm begins with a word of praise. Praise ye the Lord, verse 1. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. You see, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city, everything was taken down. Nothing was left. It was a heap of rubble. And to rebuild the city again out of rubble, out of debris, without work, without an economy, everything was in shambles. Well, the Lord was there to help them. And our Lord, you see, when we build our spiritual life, our relationship with him, he builds our physical life. And here, this is what we see God doing. God's people were described as outcasts, broken in heart, wounded, but precious. And he called them by their name. They were the meek. And God is described as one whose great power redeemed the outcast, the broken in heart, wounded of his people. This is the loving character of God, to help the helpless, save the powerless, strengthen the despondent. Jesus demonstrated this character for our learning. Verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9 is described how he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They were fainted. They were scattered abroad. He healed every disease, every sickness. You remember on Saturday, when we went for the outing, we spoke about the blind man. How the blind man was blind from birth. And when Jesus came to him, he healed him of his blindness. Right? He took the mud, put his spittle, make it into some kind of a healing clay, put it upon his eyes, asked him to go to the pool and wash. And after he washed, he received his sight again. How possible? Only God can do that. And this is what we are speaking about, that connection with the living God, the connection with omnipotence, that connection with God. And the healing comes with spiritual healing before physical healing. The Lord healed his heart. He understood and he see that this is the Lord, and that his power was demonstrated to heal him. When Christ came upon earth, he specifically go and reach out to those who are in need. And he had compassion on them. This is the redemptive care of God for his people through his Son. He saved them from their sins. And this was the beginning of the journey to heaven. He was there, humbling, restoring, uplifting his people. Verse 1 explains that praise is comely. It is most appropriate, in other words. There is that sweetness and that pleasantness that warms the heart each time the psalmist gives thought to the gracious acts of God in his life and that of Israel. Imagine the heart of the blind man. How he was healed. We are healed of our disease of sin. And how he forgave us. And those times how we felt that God is against us. And that judgment is coming. And yet judgment was averted. And forgiveness was given. And blessings flowed. Wow. No wonder the psalmist says praise is most appropriate. Praise is comely. Although in their time Messiah has not come, God is no less actively working out his redemption plan through Israel. The psalmist saw the good hand of God binding up the brokenhearted, healing the wounded, restoring the wayward. This is what God is doing in our lives. And if we would be willing to engage him, everyone with the Lord with them finds healing, find reassurance for their life. Jerusalem was rebuilt from its ruins. God restored in Jerusalem worship after 70 years of captivity. Imagine, they were cast out of the land. The land became totally useless. The temple razed to the ground. And God brought them back again. And God showed them, we just finished the study of the book of Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah was tasked by God in order to encourage the people to rebuild their spiritual life by rebuilding their temple. If our spiritual life is in ruins, we are in trouble. But if we would choose to put God first in our life, then there is hope, there is help. And so through another prophet called Haggai, God had to say to the people, you worked and all that you have put into a pocket filled with holes. You're never really satisfied. filled, not filled. Why? Because God's house is in ruins. We have not put God first. How can He bless us? We must put Him first. He must be first. Because blessings comes from Him. Life comes from Him. And we choose to walk our own way. Will we succeed? We will not succeed. In fact, we will fail miserably. In fact, we will stumble. We will fall. And we will be hurt. But we had to learn our lesson. The painful way. But the Lord, through the nation of Israel, gives to us a lesson to help us to know that God does not forsake His people. Right? The first diaspora, 70 years. The second one, 2,000 years. And yet, after 2,000 years, God brought them back again. It's as if, you know, there is no more hope for the nation. There's no way out for the nation. And yet, God, after 2,000 years, fulfilled His promise that He still loved these people, you see. And it just tells us who our God is. Okay? And it must cost us to think and think again. Jesus, indeed, was rejected by the Jews. Israel rejected their Christ. And they were deported out of the land. 2,000 years. But was the nation rejected by God? God did not reject them. The Apostle Paul tells the church not to write off Israel. Jesus will return and establish His millennial rule on earth. Right? Last Lord's Day, during the adult Sunday school, we studied the reign of Christ upon earth. How all the nations of the world would have to come to worship in Jerusalem, to pay tribute. When they don't get rain. They don't get their provisions. Because the Lord wants us to know that all these things comes from Him. You see, Romans 11, Paul says in verse 24, "For if thou wilt cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and would grafted contrary to nature unto a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Indeed, the first coming of Christ, they rejected. But the second coming of Christ, when Christ will return, Christ will save all Israel, and all Israel shall be saved. And here the Lord is saying to us, let us not write them off. And so, God willing, this week, end of this week, we are going to speak to a Jewish woman. Yeah. We pray that the Lord would grant her faith to come and believe at the ripe old age. And how old is she? 90 years old. So we pray the Lord would be gracious to help us this week as we go and make that visit. His redemptive care, His provisional and protective care, verse 7 to 14. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. No, was eating breakfast, and the table in front, the men had completed their eating. Then very quickly the birds came, and they were jumping about the table and pick up. You know, I was sitting there watching, observing. It was able to pick up in between the fog all that was there on the table, whatever that was there, all picked up. And then the bird flew off. How did they know that someone had just left some breakfast there for them? Well, if you observe them, you would see it's right around and the plate was clean. Well, we say here that the Lord takes care of them. The Lord takes care of us. God not only heals the souls of the brokenhearted and the wounded, but He practically provides for their needs. So when Peter was following the Lord, they walked with God, they left all their nets to follow the Lord. And when they did so, well, the Lord was with them to care for them, to help them. And yet they needed to learn the object lesson of putting their trust in the Lord by realizing that with the Lord they have everything. Without the Lord they have nothing. And so they had nothing. They went out fishing and they caught nothing that night. But when the Lord asked them, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught, they caught a whole net full. And they realized that all this comes from the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And Peter realized that it is the Lord. And if we haven't really understood it, we think that we can still do our own things. Let us think again. We cannot. There is no way. Only the Lord. He is the provider. He is the provider of all things. And when we come to that realization, right, we realize that with Him we have everything. Without Him we have nothing. Then you would not take the things of this world so with a tight grip anymore. You realize that all these things can be taken away from us, and yet you will still survive. But if we have set our affections on these things that we have, that we possess, and if we be taken away from us, we will be full of fear, we will be full of despondency, the wrong kind of attitude. But the Lord doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to realize, right, to know that He is the provider. So verse 10 says, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. So the Lord wants you to depend on Him. He wants you to live that life of dependence, that life of humility before Him. Only when you are humbled before God, humbled to the dust, can you experience the fullness of Him. If we have not been humbled, in a sense, to the dust, we said, then how can we experience the fullness of God? Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest wheat. When Israel returned to the land again in 14 May 1948, the land was barren. For them to make it into an oasis of life, well, only God can give it back to them. How they are able to invent a system of irrigation such that the desert would come alive again, well, only the Lord can give them that wisdom. But they need to know, right? And inside them, right, there is a homing device, as it were, right, to bring them back to the land. Right? Next year in Jerusalem, right, there is that desire to go back to the land. There is a desire to be back home again. That's home. You see? Ah. God brought them back to the land. Although the land is full of danger. Right, we were traveling there, and you have to pass from one checkpoint to another checkpoint. Men with machine gun. Well, you don't know when the next bomb will explode. And yet, they are able to live amidst the tension in a place that they are willing to call home. They return from the diaspora. They knew that this is home. This is the will of God, that they would establish the sovereign nation of Israel. Do you have that kind of understanding for your life? What God is doing in your life? What God would want you to do? What is it that God would seek for you to accomplish with the days that you have remaining, with the time that you have remaining? What is it that God wants you to do that would bring honor and would bring glory to His name? The Lord wants you to think on these things. Verse 10, He provides for our every need without us having to go out of our way to provide for ourselves. It's interesting, isn't it? God's, the divine equation for provision is very different from the human equation for provision. And so the Lord wants us to know that we, if we would seek His will and do His will and know that this is what God wants us to do, and when we walk in His will, we will be willing to follow Him, ah, that's where we would find the greatest peace. And that's where we would find your provision never stop flowing. How is it possible? Well, because you are tapped on to the source of life, the source of sustenance, the source of strength, you see. And that life, that sustenance, that strength is never exhausted, because it comes from an infinite supply. And the Lord wants you to know that. And this is what the psalmist is saying to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 11. Jesus taught his disciples against weariness, worrying for the material things of this life, but directed them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which the psalmist tells us is the fear of God and faith to trust in the unfailing mercy of God to provide for their needs. And in verse 12 to 14, we see his protective care interspersed with his provision for our needs. The psalmist praises the almighty power of God to give them secure fortifications at the gates of the city against the aggression of enemies, so that the people might have peace to rear their children. You know, when the kings of Israel were right with God, during the time of the divided kingdom, every time they call upon the Lord, no matter how big the enemy was, how big the enemy, how great the enemy's army had been, they failed to overtake his people, because his people called upon their God. And although they were so small, so vulnerable, but they were never chewed up. They were never eaten up. Because you have a God, right, whose protective shield surrounds them. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that we are to live, to reflect that glory of God's power in our lives. And he wants you to reflect the power, the glory of his power in your life. He has caused their crops to yield plentifully. We study Israel's history. It is God who raises Israel's enemy every time to humble them when they departed from their Lord. One good example, Judges chapter 3, 7 to 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forget the Lord their God, and serve Baalim and the great groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shaphan Shishatayim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Kishan Shishatayim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went to war, and the Lord delivered from Kushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Kishan Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So here is a very good example. When they followed the Lord was with them to prosper them, to help them. When they were not following the Lord, well, they had trouble. He sendeth forth his, verse 15 to 20, the third thought, God's instructive care. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his eyes like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. God's work according to who He is. Or God works according to who He is. He revealed Himself to man through His Word. And His Word accomplishes His will. For when they are spoken, they are done. And so the psalmist observed, the ice that melts come by God's instruction. Nothing happens that does not come from the hand of God. It is by His Word that this universe was created, and it is by His Word that this universe is sustained. Right? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who upholdeth all things by the word of His power. The Lord wants us to know that. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 4. The Lord says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. How come we suffer loss? Because we have not kept His statutes and His judgments. For what nation is there so great who hath God so near to them as the Lord our God in all things that we call Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Israel was entrusted with the oracles of God, and they need to realize the great privilege. They are to live by them, they are to teach them to their children, they are to experience the rich blessings of God upon their families and their nation. We in the New Testament church have the fullness of God's revelation in our hands. We have the full, completed canon of scriptures. The greatest blessing that God can bestow upon humankind, all encapsulated in His Word. He tells us what our future, or what the future is going to be. And if we have known, as we have known, are we not preparing ourselves? If we are not preparing ourselves and we suffer loss, then who is to be blamed? We cannot say to the Lord that you are an austere man. That's why I bury my talent. He won't even use that one talent that he has to put in a bank to gain some interest, but he buried it. How sad it is. And the Lord wants us to know that we are in those days leading up to His coming again. So it's no accident that the Lord gave us the name Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Church of the last days, heralding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants us to know and do His will and to prepare for His coming again. Will He not help us? Surely all power is given through our Lord Jesus Christ to us to fulfill His commission to us. Will we fail Him? We will fail Him if we do our own things. But if we would be willing to obey and follow Him, He will lead us. And we will triumph and yet triumph again. May the Lord bless us with His presence. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for You are an all-caring God, worthy of our praise. And we meditate upon your redemptive care, your provisional and protective care, and your instructive care for our lives. We thank thee for saving us, giving us spiritual life, to help us to know that this earth is reserved for a judgment. And you have provided for us, protected us, and instructed us what our future will be. Lord, will we not do thy will and receive thy blessing? May you help us, for we are weak. Lord, fill us with understanding of thy will, so that we may have the strength to do so. For thy own honor and glory, help us, your people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.